Today, it's flip or flop time. We've got one of the biggest stars in HGTV and the real estate world here on the show. That's today's show. Let's dive into it. Hey, everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. Left my day job in the world of television a number of years ago thanks to real estate, buy and hold real estate, and flipping real estate. And today, we've got someone who kind of maybe did it in the opposite direction, I guess. Cut his teeth doing real estate, sleeping in his garage, and making his way up to becoming a self-made millionaire, and then became a huge TV star. So our paths kind of crossed in that way. It's Derek El Moussa from HGTV's Flip or Flop. He's got a ton of new projects going on, and he is here on the show. Great to see you, my man.
You too, buddy. How's everything going?
Everything's great. I think we met a number of years ago in New York City. You were on my old show, Fox and Friends, making the rounds, because your huge show, Flip or Flop, that you went to them, to HGTV, and pitched them on, became such a international success. 19 million viewers, am I right?
Yeah, I think last season we hit 22 million viewers for the season, and we're currently filming our ninth season right now. But yeah, man, when I first got on TV, it was nothing more than a pipe dream. And most people don't know this about me, but I actually pitched getting a house flipping TV show before I ever actually flipped a house. So I had this crazy idea. I just bought my first flip. I had no interest in TV. I knew nothing about TV. Bam, one day it hit me. It's like, hey, you got to get on TV. And then I just put, you know, two and two together. And I was like, well, how do I get on TV? And I said, well, I just bought my first flip. And then it hit me, man. House flipping TV show.
That's amazing. I did not know that. I don't know that our audience would have known that either. So you just got your first flip, like under contract. You were just about to start that process. What was that first deal? What did that look like? And because let me just wind up back a little bit. I remember watching your shows back when I was getting started in real estate investing a number of years ago. And I would think to myself, how was he over budget $50,000? Like, holy smokes, how did that happen? And so was that some of your early deals when maybe the numbers were out of whack for you when you were cutting your...
Yeah, people need to realize season one of Flip or Flop, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I knew nothing about house flipping. I knew nothing about construction. I knew nothing about rehabbing. I knew nothing about my budgeting. The only thing I knew was that if I bought a property low enough and the comps were high enough, I can make a profit. So that's what I focused on.
That's smart. Yeah. And you were in, what year was that? Because was that after the crash or just prior to the crash?
It was after the crash. And I bought my first flip at auction in Santa Ana, California. And I believe it was May of 2010. And here we are almost 10 years later. Yeah. Wow. What a ride.
So we've actually watched you then grow and experience and then dial this in. And now, you know, you've got a real estate education company. You've got another show that you're launching now where you're helping other people. So we kind of watched you fail in public, right?
Oh, it was the real deal. I mean, and I think that's why the show is so successful, is because it really followed the journey of, you know, being a guy flipping his first house. And today I've flipped around 500 houses. So the world got to watch me do it. And I think a lot of people just enjoyed the journey, enjoyed the ride.
Now, your dad was a pretty tough cookie, right? And kind of pushed you in a hard way. And I told the story a little bit about sleeping on, you know, your parents' garage. What happened then? You went through a real dark period. And how did you pick yourself back up again?
Yeah, man. You know, I was real young. I was lost. I was out of high school. Didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I was selling kitchen knives and delivering pizza and trying to go to school all at the same time. And I was selling Cutco knives. Have you ever heard of Cutco knives?
Oh, sure. I actually have some. My wife bought some a number of years ago.
I think everybody has Cutco. So back in 2002, 2003, like, there wasn't all the technology that we have today. And all my leads were in a sales book, a hard copy sales book. And I lost my sales book. And I was living off making the commission selling those knives. And I put myself out of business. And it was a low point in my life. And I was at ATM, a Washington Mutual in Cerritos, California, man. And I was staring at the bank thinking, what am I going to do? I hate school. I'm a bad student. Like, I lost my sales book. I'm not a pizza delivery guy. Like, what do I do? Right? One of those oh shit moments.
Right.
I'll never forget. I looked up to the right in a moment of frustration and I see a crooked sign and it says Wise Old Owl Real Estate School. So I look at the sign, I look at my ATM, I look at the sign, I look at my ATM, and it hit me. I'm like, oh shit, man, if you can sell knives, you can sell houses. You make a lot more money selling houses, right?
Right.
That's it. I emptied all the money from my bank account, walked 50 feet, and I signed up for real estate.
That's amazing. What did you learn from that wise old owl school? What was the catalyst that then, you know, pushed you to getting your first deal?
Man, honestly, I didn't learn anything. I learned nothing. You know, I just went through the normal process of getting my license. And then I was a new agent, 20 years old, and I was hungry. I was motivated. I was driven. I was hardworking, but I didn't know what to work on. I didn't know what to do. And it was a frustrating process, and I made no money. And during that time, I had no sales. I was going broke. I was busting my ass. And I remember there were these people talking in my real estate office at the time, these two older ladies talking about how stupid people were for signing up for real estate coaching. And listen, like, I was new to the business world. I didn't even know what coaching was. You ask a high school student what coaching is, they're like, coaching? What do you mean, baseball? Like,
right.
What do you mean coaching? So, of course, I was the idiot that said, I was like, wait a minute. So I can pay someone that knows what to do. They're going to tell me what to do. I can do it and I can make money. So I went ahead and I was the idiot that signed up for coaching. And man, my life changed. You know, I was completely broke. I put it on my credit card. I had no other options. And I had just moved in to my mom's house into the garage. And I had to live in the garage because my parents had just gone through a divorce and she had rented out my bedroom and I couldn't afford the $300 a month in rent. It was that bad. So it was like a real garage, not a converted.
So you were like sleeping next to like paint thinner and stuff, right?
Like paint thinner, WD-40. My dirt bike was in there. My jet ski was in there. I took a roller, a cot bed on rollers, and I just put it in the middle of the garage, and that's where I slept. I had nowhere else to go. I had no AC, I had no heat. It was awful. You know, it was a pretty low point in my life. But here's what happened. I put myself in a position where I had no other option to. I had no other options. I was like already at rock bottom. I was already living in a garage. I already couldn't put gas in my car. This was it. And I had to go all in. So I committed 90 days to real estate, 90 days to coaching. And I just promised myself, regardless of anything, I'm going to work harder than I ever worked in my entire life the next 90 days. And if I get the results that I'm expecting, I'm sticking with real estate and we're doing big things. And what happened was 90 days later, I earned $120,000 in commissions around my 21st birthday. So I went from making $0 to $40,000 a month like that overnight.
Wow. What was the catalyst, do you think? And what was the difference from making nothing to flipping that switch?
The difference? Someone showed me a system that would bring results, and I just threw gasoline on that fire. And I was a cold calling machine. I worked 12 to 18 hour days. I made 500 to 700 phone calls a day. I knocked on hundreds of doors. Everybody around me told me I was crazy. Everybody in my real estate offices said, you're nuts. Something's wrong with you. My friends, my family, my neighbors, everybody. But I knew if I outworked everybody and I believed I could do it, I could do it. And you know what? I did it.
I love that, man. And you and I kind of have somewhat similar story. I mean, I was working in TV, waking up at 3 a.m. and just said, you know, I want to build something, legacy wealth for my family that wasn't tied to a paycheck. Yeah. And I started doing the same thing. I was, you know, network news anchor, but I was pounding on doors, putting post-it notes on hundreds of doors a day, making phone calls like crazy. And just because I followed a system that was proven and I stuck to it. But I have to ask you, because you know, a lot of people, a lot of internet people, a lot of internet trolls and others say, oh, coaching, all that stuff, that doesn't work. It's just throwing money away. But I'm living proof of actually following a system and making it work. You are as well. So what do you say to those internet trolls?
You find me one successful internet troll. They don't exist. They're morons. No offense. Listen, I have people come all the time, tell me what I know and what I don't know. And it's like, listen, you don't have a pot to piss in. You have nothing. So keep your mouth shut. And then that's the reality. I'm a very direct guy. And there are just dumb people out there. And there's nothing you can do about that, you know? And those are the people you want to stay away from, the negative people, the toxic people, the people that bring you down, the people that play the victim, the people that make excuses. Those are the people I separate myself from. I like to be around the people that believe, the people that are hungry, the people that are motivated. And of course, coaching works. Why does it work? Because a coach is someone that gives you a plan. And why is it a good plan? Because it's a proven plan. And why is it proven? Because the coach already proved the model. That's it. It's like, it's not rocket science. Coaching to me was the most important thing that got me to where I got. And that's why I'm so obsessed with coaching other people. And that's why it's so important to get educated, because I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't take that leap of faith and sign up for coaching right after some other people said how stupid coaching was.
Right.
So at the time, it wasn't an internet troll. It was an office troll that convinced me to go to coaching, because I remember them talking, saying bad things about coaching. And then I remember their production was this. So I never listen to the people that make no money. I only listen to the people that make money.
Right. Successful people don't punch down. They're too busy working and helping others to be worrying about punching down. And those people that were hanging around the office telling you that coaching wasn't working, they were, I love that you pointed this out. They were in the office, not out hitting the pavement, not out finding leads, not out finding deals. And they're all hanging around the water cooler complaining.
Yeah, there's no secret to success. It's very simple. You find a plan and you execute a plan. That's it. And the problem is most people, they try for a few hours or try for a few days or even a few weeks and they're failing. And then they say, oh, it doesn't work. Oh, it's not for me. That's bullshit. You know how it is. You're a real estate investor. You think if you went out there and put 50 post-its on 50 doors, you'd get 10 deals? Of course not.
No.
So when I'm coaching someone with real estate, I said, here's the plan. Go put post-it notes on doors. You are not allowed to quit until there are 10,000 post-it notes on 10,000 houses. Once you get to that number, if it's not working, then fine, you can quit. Math shows us that if you hit a certain amount of people, you're going to get a certain return.
Absolutely. And I would look at the data when I was starting out just wholesaling houses in the New Jersey area. And I knew if I made 100 phone calls that I could expect to possibly land one, maybe two deals. And, you know, that was even pushing it, but usually about one if I really, really worked hard at it. And if I had the right leads and if I was targeting the right areas, but you had to put in the time. If you make five phone calls and you're like, oh, just this is not for me. I just can't do this. Then you need to move on. This is not.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, people say, well, how do I do it without knocking on those doors? How do I do it without making those phone calls? How do I do it without this? How do I do it without that? I'm like, you know what? There's no other way to do it. That's how you do it. And that's why you have to become comfortable being uncomfortable. You have to do things you don't want to do. Like, that's the key to success, is doing shit that you don't want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you separate yourself from the pack and all of that. And when you were starting out, and who thought to call up, you know, HGTV and pitch them on a show with your first flip? So just take me, because I'm a TV guy, take me behind the scenes of that conversation. And how did you, were they more interested in the fact that they thought, oh my God, this guy's going to flop? Was that kind of the appeal for them, I guess?
Man, it was wild. So here's how I got the TV show. I'll give you the short version of the story. I was in a real estate convention in Las Vegas for selling houses, and it was a 5,000 person convention. I was hung out in the very back. I was a nobody. I had no money. You know, I was just a young kid. And there were two seats that opened up in the very front row of this convention, which people like me weren't up there. Those were the VIPs. Those were the guys that make $1 million a year. Those were the ballers, right?
Right. But
anyways, we ended up in the very front row. We got real lucky. Two seats open, and my friend was sitting there. He invited us up, and at the break, I started talking to the people that were in the front row, because they're like, who are these two? They were talking about me and my ex-wife. They're young, they're decent looking, they're dressed sharp. And one of the guys I was talking to, his name was Brady Sandal, and he's a real estate agent out of Palm Springs, California. And he was telling me how he had a local TV show in the Palm Springs area, and people would come up to him, and he was like a local celebrity, and he would get business out of it. And I was like, man. And I just thought, wow, how smart, doing real estate on TV. And that's really all I thought about it. And then the next day I was sitting on the couch at night, and I was thinking, and it just hit me out of nowhere. I was like, TV. I said, if I can get us on TV, I can create a brand. If I can create a brand, we can start businesses. We can make money. And I was like, what type of a TV show? I didn't even know what type of a TV show. I had just bought my first flip, didn't start demo yet, a few days before. So bam, I just started Googling production companies. And the first one I Googled was Pytown Productions. And I sent an email. Here's my idea. I want to do a house flipping TV show. Here's my story. Here's the pictures. Here's the buyer. Let me know if you have interest. I'm like, these people are never going to respond. It's a Hollywood production company, right? next morning, I wake up to an email. They're like, oh my gosh, we love your story. We like your picture. Send us a home video. So that's what we did. We made this home video and submitted it to them, and they loved it. We went in for an in-person meeting. I'll never forget, they had a little parking spot saved for us in the production company parking lot. We felt so special and cool with our little Honda. And then we did the two-day professional shoot, which was a sizzle video. Then they pitched it to all the networks, and it didn't go well at all. For 10 months, everybody said no, and we actually stopped hearing from everybody. And I almost gave up on the idea. Because I'm a guy that tries everything, right? I try everything. And if it doesn't work, it's okay. Like, I try the next thing, you know? Almost a year later, we got a call from production saying HGTV wants to do a pilot.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of Flip or Flop. But here's the interesting part. The pilot was the third house I ever flipped. Right after the pilot, HGTV loved it. They're like, we want to do a series, 13 episodes. Let's go. So I get the contract to do 13 houses on TV in 10 months.
Holy smokes.
what was the problem I was facing?
Well, let me think. First of all, Southern California, finding deals, incredibly difficult. Finding the capital, I would also think would be incredibly difficult. This was your third time doing this at scale, and being able to do renovations that normally probably, like I know in New Jersey, would take 7 to 9 months. And if it's like new construction, a year. So the math seemed shifty there to me. I don't know how you pulled it off.
Everything was against me. Everybody told me I couldn't do it. And I looked at my ex at the time and I said, well, what's the worst that can happen? She goes, well, they could sue us. And I was like, well, what are they going to sue us for? We don't have anything. We're upside down on everything. They could have it. I signed the contract and man, I made it happen. Season one, I knew nothing about flipping houses. I didn't know how to find houses. I didn't know where I was going to get the money to buy the houses. But with just hard work and grit and just giving it everything I have, I figured it out. And I was working up to 20-hour days to make that first season happen. And what happened was I put myself under so much pressure to learn how to flip houses as I went on worldwide TV that I figured out how to do it faster than everybody else. By the second year, I was up to 46 houses that year. Third year, I think it was 88 houses in that year. So exponential growth.
Well, it also took a toll on your health too, right?
It did. It did. And I'm a big believer that, you know, the reason I got my cancers is because I spent the majority of my life overworked, under rest, like stressed out of my mind. And it did take a toll on me. It did.
Yeah. So finding that balance, incredibly important. But I want everyone who's watching right now paying attention to this, because I get so many people that write on a regular basis that say that, you know, they don't have access to money. They don't have access to deals. They don't know where to turn. They don't know how to find. You're a testament to hard work, determination, and focus. The money will come if the deal is there. Finding the deal, putting these pieces in place, that's how it happens. And that's how
that's
it comes together.
The money will come if the deal is there. And that's why me, you know, because I'm a self-made guy and I'm proud of that. And then when people make excuses to me, I'm just stop with the shit. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear there's no deals. Because I guarantee if I pull up MLS right now, there are deals all over that other people already bought and flipped. Okay. Right. So you're making excuses for your lack of effort. You're making excuses for your lack of work because you're not getting the results. And you're not getting the results is because you're not doing what it takes, because success is an obsession. You have to be willing to do what others aren't willing to do. The first year, a lot of the properties I bought at auction. And when I bought at the auction, I couldn't buy properties that were occupied because I couldn't go through the eviction process. It took too long. So I would work all day. I'd work a 12-hour workday. And then at night, I would leave my house from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. every single night after working all day, driving by all the properties that were going to the auction the next day to see if anybody lived there.
Wow.
So I was running on 3, 4, 5 hours of sleep for a year, and it almost killed me.
And I remember those episodes too, where, you know, you're coming up for auction and you're having to climb over a fence to see if it's, you know, right before the auction happens, just to see if it even is available, if you can get in there and going the extra mile where other people wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it was like the Wild West to me back then. I was just, I was like, let's do it. I knew nothing, man. And I just went for it.
Do you want 0% interest funding for real estate or your small business? Of course you do. Fund and Grow has now helped over $100 million for our clients for 0% interest to let them invest in real estate, pay off higher interest debt, or just start their own business. Fund and Grow has been amazing. I've used them personally multiple times to acquire rental properties. The first round of funding we got from them was $173,000. The next round was $93,000. And their company is amazing. They're on the Inc. 5000 list. What they do is they basically set up business credit cards for you and a business, and negotiate with the banks to get you the maximum amount of funding. And then they work with a company that lets you actually wire the money to closing right from the app. It works so seamlessly, and it's been really phenomenal. From the sign-up process to closing on a property, getting their funding is about 2 weeks. They've managed to shorten that window. So if you want to save $500 off your sign-up fee for using them, trust me, you will love these guys. $500 savings if you go to our website, morrisinvest.com/funding. It's right there on the page. Just click the funding tab and sign up and see if you're pre-qualified. Save $500 off by going to morrisinvest.com/funding today to start getting 0% interest funding for a down payment or a full purchase of a rental property.
Well, let's talk some specific real estate here before we get you out of here. On some of these early deals and what maybe where you've seen personal growth and math growth over time, what deals might you not have even touched today that you might have touched in season one? Take me back to some of those first deals. What stands out to you about some of those early ones? Were there any mistakes in those first few?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the first deal I did, so I learned very early on, I'm not a handy guy and I don't know anything about construction. So that first deal I did, I electrocuted myself. I burned my feet with acid. I painted the baseboards to the floor. So I did everything wrong. But the one thing I did right was make a profit because I made $34,000.
Nice.
So you're going to make mistakes when you're flipping houses. It's part of the process, you know, and it is what it is. But you have to make sure you buy right. So any real estate investor knows you make your money when you buy. You know that. And if you buy right, shit goes wrong, you're still going to be okay.
So nothing's really changed. That same formula still in play today. What's some of the math that you look for in a deal now? And are you now in 2020, 2021 still able to find really good deals in Southern California? What does that market look like today?
Absolutely, there are deals everywhere. And like you know, I go on stage and I talk to people and they say, oh, there are no deals in my area. I'm like, there are deals. Someone's house today is going to flood. Someone's house today is going to burn down. Someone is going to retire. Somebody's going to move. Someone's going to have a life change. It doesn't matter where it is. There is always going to be opportunities if you're looking for opportunity. That's it.
Right. Yeah. Like yesterday, no joke, yesterday, one of my rental properties in the Midwest burned down. It was on the local news. It was almost done construction. No one was living there. The plumbing and electric just finished up and it burned down. And if I was, not a real estate investor and I might just have been, random person, maybe a motivated seller, you could have been reaching out to me and say, hey, I'll take this off your hands. Who knows, right? That's an opportunity. That's motivation. There are deals happening every day, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are deals everywhere, everywhere.
Yeah, you just need to be crafty in how you're looking. So tell us about the new show that you're launching. So this is separate from Flipper Flop. And now you're entering it's the ninth season of Flipper Flop. But tell us about the new show.
Yeah, I just started shooting the ninth season of Flipper Flop. And my new show is called Flipping 101 with Tariq El Moussa. And that actually premieres March 5th at 9 p.m. So I'm super excited about it because it's taking everything I know about real estate and sharing it with the world. And it's just exciting because I get to coach people on TV, which is my favorite thing to do. I love coaching. I love mentoring. I love watching people grow. I love watching people become successful. I love watching people change their dreams or chase their dreams. So this show is just such an exciting show for me. And it's a fun show, man. It is.
So you're teaching them how to flip or how to do buy and hold. What's the focus? Is it mostly flipping? How to get your hands dirty? Flipping.
But the message is you make your money flipping so you can buy rental properties. So a lot of people don't understand. I don't just flip houses. I flip houses to make money, and then I take that money and I buy and hold properties.
I hope everyone pays attention to that. That's what I've been preaching here on this show for 3 years, 4 years now, is please, if you're doing flipping or wholesaling, it's still transactional, right? It's still a paycheck. Convert that into buy and hold real estate. When did you make that decision? How long after you were first started flipping that did you make a move to start buying and holding for cash flow?
Yeah, I mean, I started buying and holding rentals in 2012, just a little bit here and there. But in the last 3 years, I've purchased more. And today, me and my business partner, we own close to 100 houses, rental properties.
Self-funded
rental properties. So it's great. Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, and of course, the tax benefits are second to none as well. So
yeah, appreciation and the tax benefits and all that. It's just amazing. Real estate's the best business in the world. You can
Absolutely.
Take a guy like me from Buena Park, California, with no education, no skill set, no nothing, and become successful if you're willing to put in the work.
So how can people, before we get you out of here, how can people connect with you, through seeing some of your live events, but also the show March 5th, you mentioned the new show. What's the best way to connect and see everything you've got going on?
I mean, to see everything I have going on, you just follow me on Instagram. It's at The Real Tariq El Moussa. And that's where I post everything that's going on. And if you have any interest or anyone has any interest in getting into real estate investing, you know, I just launched Homemade Investor, and it's an educational program where we're going to be teaching people not only around the US, but around the globe how to flip houses. So I'm super excited about it.
Awesome. And I also know he's on TikTok, as am I. I'm The Real Clayton Morris on TikTok, and you're Tariq El Moussa on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was watching some of your TikToks too, because you're behind the scenes of like, hey, does anyone want to go swimming in this swimming pool? And it's a total disaster, a mess. So you've got to follow him over there as well. Some good stuff. Any final thoughts here? You know, we've got a lot of people who are just getting started and who are thinking about, you know, get out away from that 9 to 5, maybe fresh out of college or making a change in their life. They just had their first child and they want to do something that moves the needle. You know, what would you say to those people, man?
You need strength because it's going to be harder than you think. You're going to fail more than you think. You're going to want to quit more than you think. You're going to tell yourself you can't do it more than you think. But the truth is you can. Everything you're going through is the same thing I went through. It's the same thing you're going through. Part of the process is surviving the misery of becoming successful, because it's a grind. It's really, really tough. But if you can survive the daily battle, you're going to become successful.
I love it. I love it. I think more people are scared of success than they are of failure. They're scared of what that will look like and how it might change their life, that they'll actually have to be strong. So I love it, man. I love your message and I love your hard work and determination. And I love how you're educating and helping people, you know, make a change in their life and learning real estate. So thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the call. I had a great time.
Absolutely. So check out Tariq's show. It's called Flipping 101. It premieres on March 5th March 5th, right? 9 p.m. on HGTV. Got it. All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. To go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor, because I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. Like Tariq said, you got to have strength to do it, man. We'll see you next time, everyone.